أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and the messenger, and we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions to the day of judgment. My dear fellow Muslims, we are still in the Eid and the climate of the Eid. I think you must have heard enough about the story of the pilgrimage and the rationale and what it is all about. To summarize, the Hajj is a commemoration of a man who proved to be a very special man, so special that God calls him the friend of Allah, Khalilullah. Ibrahim has very salient points in his life. Foremost is that he is the one to give the message that the belief in God is not a dogma. It is not something we tell people there is God and you have to believe in it just like that. Because Ibrahim showed that the belief in God is an intellectual inevitability. When he didn't like his people worshipping idols and considered various articles of nature to be God, and looked at the star, and then the moon, and then the sun, and found that those obeyed certain rules, and he got to ask himself who set those rules, and came to the conclusion that the Creator is the one beyond the creation. Ibrahim was a man who passed so many tests. His first was to challenge his own father at a time when sons could not challenge their fathers. And in a very loving way, didn't keep the advice to be given to his father not to worship the idols. The second was the challenge to the whole people as he went and destroyed their idols. And when they arrested him and condemned him to be burnt in fire, and he was there in his shackles and the fire blazing, and the angel Gabriel comes to him and says, do you need anything? And the believer said, not from you. And showing that faith in Allah, Allah said, ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, O fire, be peace and coolness over Ibrahim. Ibrahim challenged the king and said, my lord is the one who gives life and death, and the king brings two prisoners and kills one and spares the other, saying, I give life and death. And Ibrahim's challenge was, my lord is the one who brings the sun from the east, can you bring it from the west? فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. But the hardest test of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was when he was asked to sacrifice his own son with his own hand upon the instruction of God. And like father, like son, the boy was also a very faithful boy. And when Ibrahim told him, Ya Bunay, inni ara fil manami anni azbahuk, فانظر ماذا ترى. قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر. ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. My dear boy, I have seen that I'm slaughtering you. What do you think? And the boy would say, My father, do as you are told, and you will find me amongst those who are patient. But Alhamdulillah, and we Muslims should be grateful for that in particular. Allah told him, Well, you have passed the test. Do not kill your son. And there will be a symbolic sacrifice, denoting that human sacrifice is no more required. And the angel brought a ram to be sacrificed. There is a question, however, that I would like to put before you. The question that I derive from the whole story of Ibrahim. Ibrahim was asked to sacrifice his son, and he was willing to. Now, each of us, my dear fellow Muslims, has got his own Ismail in this life. Each of us has got the thing that he deems most precious in his life. It can be the child, it can be the parents, it can be your money, it can be your greed, it can be your aspirations, it can be your pleasures. So find out what is most precious in your life and ask yourself the question, Ibrahim was willing to sacrifice. Am I willing to sacrifice the most precious thing in my life if it is in the cause of God? In this current age, there are Muslims who are willing to sacrifice their lives but for the wrong cause and in the wrong way. Others who see the truth but are not willing to sacrifice. And unless we get clear of two things, Number one, what is the cause of God? What does Allah want us to do? And number two, and when we are convinced, we should be willing to sacrifice. On the whole, I think the Muslim Ummah now, especially the leaders and the big shots, are far from willing to sacrifice. And we will remain as we are in the same status until the Muslim Ummah is an Ummah which is willing to sacrifice. We often ask ourselves what makes the administration of the United States side with Israel all the way. And we have nothing to do but for our leaders perhaps to come time and again, every time America says we can do nothing, we'll impose nothing upon Israel, and yet we come to beg again and again. Although it takes a little sacrifice to restore the balance. If the 1 billion Muslims in the world decide not to smoke American cigarettes, not to drive American cars. In that case, it is my firm belief that the policy will change. But we have to sacrifice something. Those addicted to American nicotine should be willing to sacrifice it. And those in the East who are addicted to American cars should be willing to sacrifice them. And it is through this sacrifice that we will be able to claim someday in the future that we deserve the support of God, because it is not enough to say we have rights unless we ask ourselves, do we deserve them? Because if I have rights and I don't deserve them, then divine justice wouldn't allow it that I take something that I do not deserve. Yesterday I read a nice article in the Los Angeles Times about Jerusalem, written by Dr. Gasser Hathout of this center. I think it was a milestone because we are usually not given that space in the newspapers. I felt very proud and very pleased with it. It shows that Jerusalem is not the concern of the Jews only. It concerns the Christians and concerns the Muslims. And that the monopoly of Jerusalem by the Jews is not valid and is not legal. But today, just minutes before I came here, I saw the New York Times with a full-page ad signed by notable right-wing Christians, not Jews even, Christians, supporting that Israel should have full sovereignty on Jerusalem. I really became surprised. The Christians believe something we Muslims don't believe. They believe that the Jews killed their God. Whereas we Muslims side with Jesus and believe that at least he is a prophet from God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet it is amazing that the Christians would side with the Jews against Islam. I think we have to, alhamdulillah, we have the internet now, and we can break the blockade of the media upon our opinions. But yet we have to respond, and the fact that an article was published yesterday didn't occur by chance. It takes effort. It takes continuous, vigilant attempting and trying and preparing a foothold in the media and establishing public relations and exerting influence in order that the domain of the media will not be just closed to Muslims forever and ever. And any support you give the center is a support of trying to break that blockade on Muslims' points of view. Then we should be aware so that we can teach others that the Jews have two claims on Israel, on Palestine. One is the historical claim and the other is the religious claim. Historically, they say we had a kingdom in this land 3,000 years ago. But historically also, we know that when they went to that land, they didn't find it empty. And when they left it, they didn't leave it empty. There were always Palestinians in that land before, during, and after the Jews. So to come and say that because we did that thousands of years ago, it should be ours and we have to kick out the rest in order to build our own country, is not fair and is not valid. But the millions and the millions of Christians have to hear that from someone. The religious claim of the Jews on Palestine is that the covenant Allah gave to Ibrahim, to your seed I give this great land from the Nile to the Euphrates. And we agree, but who are the seed of Abraham? Abraham was the father of Ishmael and of Isaac. And the progeny of Ismail should be counted among the seed of Abraham. And the progeny of Isaac, who later became Christians, are still the seed of Ibrahim. But to translate it such that the seed of Ibrahim are only those Jews who remained Jew, so that those who became Christian or became Muslim or the descendants of Ismail are not the seed of Ibrahim, I think this is a lie. And it is easy to identify this to the millions and the millions of fellow Americans in this land. And of course, no one will solve our problems except ourselves. And in a nutshell, my prescription would be an extreme, complete love and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the incompleteness that prevents us from the victory that Allah can send in any time, but He is waiting so that he would send it to people who deserve it. And our love crisis, if we loved Allah sufficiently, we would have loved one another. But obviously there is a love crisis amongst Muslims. It became easy for Muslim to kill Muslim, as in Afghanistan. It became easy for Muslim country to attack another Muslim country. It became easy for Islamic centers to take a negative attitude towards one another. It became easy inside one Islamic center that clashes occur and they take one another to court, etc. Without facing this crisis of Allah, of love to Allah and to fellow Muslims and the fellow human beings, I do not think we'll ever deserve the support of Allah. And the next step is to produce and fulfill the necessary education of the Muslim masses, that even without our chiefs and our rulers interfering, without asking them to transcend their cowardice, the people can do a lot. And if the 1 billion Muslims did anything, just buzzing like flies, we can keep the world awake. And it is this we should work for. And a lot of it can be done by the American Muslims, because in the United States we have the measure of freedom that our brothers in the Muslim lands lack. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سلوا ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى أهل بيته وعلى صحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين. My dear fellow Muslims, no khatib in these days can ignore the sad accident, the fire that happened in Mina during the pilgrimage season. I trust you have heard enough about that. There are certain precautionary measures that have to be taken, because the Quran says, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ, make your preparatory arrangements, take your precautions. And I'm sure that the authorities did their best in facing the fire and trying to save people and treating them and transport them and give tents, etc. But the idea is not that of how to face the calamity, the idea is to prevent it so that it wouldn't happen. And there is a number of suggestions, beginning from publishing a safety brochure and giving it with the visa application, giving it at the airport as people go in, giving it to the mutawifs in order to remind the Hujjaj, getting the Muslims in the days of Arafah and Mina to eat a sandwich and a fruit. These are not days of festivity. You don't need to have fire and cook your own. You have to be really devoted and busy with addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praying. We have to teach perhaps the Saudi police, or no, the police in Saudi Arabia cannot do that, but we have to recruit an army of public relations people. People who can put a smile on their face and treat the pilgrims gently and nicely and mingle with them and go into the tents and see that the security measures are really implemented and try and educate the people. But there is one positive aspect in all this. Our brothers and sisters who have been killed in that accident, and believe me, the day they are mourned might have been the happiest day of their life, because they are martyrs and because they went to the better place and the better company and the better generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah they are in paradise. So this is the positive thing, but this does not absolve the people from doing their best in order to take precautions so that such things do not happen. And it is sad to see this happening time and again, some calamity almost every other year during the Hajj season, and to notice that it was not a natural disaster like an earthquake or a volcano. It was human behavior, and it could have been prevented by human behavior. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire those who are responsible to be at the level of their responsibilities. And we ask Allah to fill our hearts with His love and love of our fellow Muslim and the fellow human being, and to make us live and die and live again upon La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat innaka ya rabbana sami'un qaribun mujibud da'awati ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma akrim shuhada'ana wa shuhada'al muslimin. اللهم اهدي حكامنا وشعوبنا إلى ما فيه هداك ورضاك. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك، وأحلنا وأمتنا وابعثنا على لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة. قم تذكرون.